tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be your sanctuary, pure and holy, he tried and true, with thanksgiving, I feel your living, you will, you, sanctuary, for you. Amen and amen. To be a sanctuary for the Lord, is that your desire? Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn back where we were reading from Leviticus, and then we will read this afternoon from 1 Corinthians 5. Turn to Leviticus 23. And we'll just read verse 4 and 5. Remember now the watch night service this coming Wednesday, and just come be prepared. We start at 8 o'clock, and our kind of normal routine way of doing is we start at 8. We sing about 30 minutes, because we used to do it different, but now we sing about 30 minutes, and then we just call out the minister and let him preach for whatever time that he wants to preach. All right? And then we will sing from there on till midnight and try to take communion right around midnight. So bring your songs. There's a group of people, a large group, about 25 or 30 of Brother Richard's people's coming. So we're looking forward to a good time in the Lord, and, you know, to have a fellowship together on that thing. It fell on the Wednesday night to be the watch night service. This time fell just perfectly. So, you know, just come and be with us. As I said, we start at 8. By 8:30, we should be, the minister should be ministering. And all, and also bring finger food for your sisters and things, your little specialties that you want to make some special dish and all to bring. And, you know, that way we can have a little bit to eat before service, and then we can have something to eat after service, and we don't have to worry about going out on the watch night, you know, and all after midnight. So we're really looking forward to that. Amen. Leviticus 23, verse 4 and 5, and then 1 Corinthians 5. Father, we thank you. We love you. We thank you for the day and the hour that we're living, the time that we have. And we pray that you would just bless us and guide us with thine understanding hand, and just keep us, Lord, in that we may walk in you. And Father, forgive our sins when we fail you, because we know we don't. We don't follow what you say a lot of times. We follow our own leading, and we get into trouble by doing that. But just have your way, Lord, and just let your light shine in each heart. Let it be you that would come this afternoon and speak to our hearts, and forgive us when we fail you. And Lord, keep us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Leviticus 23. We've been having to run backwards and forth by Joe and him not being here today, and everything's been messing up and all around. And it generally don't never mess up until, you know, until someone is gone that can grab it and throw it together in a hurry. And Richard's doing a wonderful job. Him and Bob was working this morning, and now he's got Brother Gary, and they're working on trying to make sure everything. And Brother Richard has now fixed the services, I think, from last Sunday, the morning service, to where it can be heard. Because remember, when the power went out, well, when it does, the system goes out. Well, we're working on that too, so we're going to have to buy some backup things to where it'll click the battery and we won't lose anything, because everything goes down when the power goes out. It cuts all this new modern stuff out. That's one of the defects, I guess you'd call it, but we're working on it. We're doing it. Amen. Leviticus 23. Just pray that the Lord would guide me in what to say this afternoon, because what I want to do is I'm going to try to pick up, you know, from where that it was this morning, because really this message is about six messages down the road, okay, or ten, and so I'm going to try to pull it down to make it where it'll be more interesting to you to see what we're talking about as we go along the way. All right, Leviticus 23. We'll just read 4 and 5. These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which ye shall proclaim in your seasons. In the 15th day of the first month, that evening, is the Lord's Passover. Now go to 1 Corinthians 5. We'll start with verse 6. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Now watch how it's done now. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, I had to just jump through these quotes because I didn't bring, and we will review this again when we go back into some part more of the message on one of the other feast days. But now, I'm wanting you to understand something, because as I showed this morning, that there looks like there's contradictions in the Bible. There looks like there's contradictions sometimes in what Brother Branham says. But if you'll take those things and wait prayerfully upon the Lord, He will put them together. But sometimes you must wait. What does it matter if you have to wait 20 years? I've held things for that long sometimes without speaking on them, because not that I couldn't read what the prophet said, not that I couldn't tell you what the Bible said, but because God had not revealed to me what He was talking about. So then I try to wait, you know, and be led of the Lord to speak on these things. And we titled, I didn't give it this morning, I guess, but it was on the internet title. We titled the message this morning, which was the seven feast days, number 3. I think that's right, numbers. Our Passover, which would be number 3. Well, this would be number 4 on the seven feast days. Our Passover part 2. So we would just title it that way to keep the difference in the morning and the evening message. Now, I keep saying this over and over to where that you will read it and understand it. That every seventh day was a day of rest or a Sabbath in the Old Testament. And see, then you had those Sabbaths that would come along, and then God instituted there in Leviticus, He instituted more than just that Sabbath. He gave us 7 feast days. Alright? Now, we've been on the Feast of the Passover, and that's the first one, and then it goes into the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, and then it go from that to the next and the next and the next. It just goes through 7 feast days, and we're trying to get an understanding of what that meant related to us. Now, I'm not trying to show you what it meant to them, because I can show you. I run it yesterday, took a little time and went in on the internet to just see, and you ought to just see one fella explain it this way, and another explains it this way, and another explains it this way, and all of them supposed to be known, you know, quote, scholars, etc., you know, even encyclopedia quotes, etc., can be different from one to the other one. And I found out that it really has to be revealed. I found that out, though, by looking at it. Because, like I was showing this morning, of the time, see, of the feast and the things that, that the scripture actually says in the Matthew there about the first day of the unleavened bread. But then we took Luke to show you that he was saying literally an unleavened bread day, but then there would be 7 days of unleavened bread. So that wound up being 8 days, and that's exactly what it gives you in Exodus, because it goes from the 14th, it says, to the 21st. Well, that's 8 days. See, you know, as you're counting in Jewish time, that when you count anything in a day, that way it counts a whole day. And we will get to it later, explaining it more and more into detail, but you know, the day in the Jewish time starts at the evening, because it's right with the scriptures in Genesis that it says when the creation that the evening and the morning were the first day. It doesn't say the morning and the evening, see? It's the Jewish calculation under the Old Testament. See, we start a day in the morning. Right. Well, that's why that for, you know, how you hold on with different ideas. See, for many, many years, most of you know, I always celebrated my birthday on April the 15th. And, you know, because that's what I thought it was. And I got my birth certificate. I was born on 1 a.m. April the 16th. See? So in the old timers' days and all, I was born the day before. Because, see, they didn't calculate it. They didn't care where it was 1 a.m. or whatever. It wasn't another day until daylight come. You know. And that's the way we look at things. But, see, in the Bible things, it was the evening and the morning. And, see, that's the only way you can calculate Jesus Christ in his Passover meal, because it was the supper. You know, what we call supper. The evening to the, you know, to the northerners, the evening meal, you know, but we call it supper. Because that's what it is, you know, it's supper time, alright? But see, then you take that, then you can understand Jesus and what he went through with the Passover, and then how that he was crucified on Friday, see, and that would have been over into the day, but the Friday started. Now, you listen, you'll understand, but if you don't, you're going to miss me. Their Friday evening started their day, which is our Thursday afternoon, right? See, our Thursday afternoon, because we're on one way of talking about it, they're on another way of talking about it, all right? So then on our Thursday afternoon would be the starting of their Friday. And that's how that you could have the all the way into things. Because remember, Jesus was in the trials and the mockeries and the things during the night and then the next morning. And then he was put on the cross about somewhere around 3 p.m. All right. And so then you got to, you can keep up with it if you understand what the Bible is talking about. But I'm saying, what that relates to you and I. What does those things mean to us? Not what we can see, what it means there. Because you're going to argue backwards and forth about it as to through scholars and things of what is doing and all, but it's perfect once it's revealed to us. Because it'll take a revelation to understand it. Alright, see? Then there was no leaven in the meal of the feast of the Passover. Okay? And then you was to have 7 days it started. That was the 14th. And then on the 15th, you started 7 days of unleavened bread. So that makes 8 days of unleavened bread. See? That makes it come out to where that you'll have your scriptures correct, and it will be the 7 church ages. See? The prophet said, these feast days is a type of the 7 church ages. Well, that's what I'm trying to get you to see, just like the where we were ending up, you know, at the last of the message, we'll try to pick up on it, is to where that when the Lord Jesus come up, he instituted the communion. He took the bread and the wine that they were eating and drinking from the Passover meal, because it was a literal meal they ate. They just didn't get her in the upper room and he done the communion. It was a literal meal that they were eating. And then when the meal was finished, if you go over in John, it picks it up and even uses the word of saying, and when supper was ended. See, it, you know, you can see it that way, but still John doesn't put it together enough to see totally, you know, because that goes right into the foot washing. Right? But now, there was the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And you could call it the Feast of Unleavened Bread on the Passover, And it's a feast of unleavened bread for the seven feast days, you know, or the seven times during the 7 days of the feast and all, and that would fall and be correct. So the scripture's right. It just takes a revelation. All right? But what does that have to do with us? See, the Lord Jesus was saying there to them in the upper room, if you were following me this morning, and I know this is hard for anybody else if I did hear one message, but I can't background all the way the whole message, but I'm sorry, please, if you just hear this, go back and listen to the morning's message. All right, that's all I can say. If you call me, I'll make sure you get a copy of it. But, see, when Jesus come to that, he took the bread that they had ate in the Passover meal, which was unleavened bread. And he gave them that with wine and instituted what we call the Lord's Supper. And I told you, I hope you caught that point, that he was trying to tell them, I'm going to die. I am the Lamb. I'm going to die. But I'm not going to be able to keep these other feast days. Because he never got to keep any of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Of course, he did in the point that he didn't get nothing to eat. You know, I mean, they were Saturday, you know, Friday and Saturday and all that. But he didn't get to do that like every year before then. Every year before, he would go in, and then when he would explain that. I wish you would get that concept in your mind, that what we're doing is we're trying to explain God down into terms. That's what a minister's doing. And the head of a house would take every feast day, and they would explain that to the children. They would explain it in detail. What this means. This meant that here the death angel was not going to strike us. See, they would be over 100 years later, 500 years later, whatever they were, they would still be explaining to them. This is what this meant to us. This meant our people come out of Egypt. This meant the lamb was offered. This meant these things. But they just kept offering that lamb every year. You know, every year it was just the same thing over and over. But then when Jesus come in his life, he was offering the lamb. The lamb was for their household. He went along with this every time. But then one day when he took it the last time that he was going to be able to eat the Passover lamb with them, he said, all right, now here, take this bread, take this wine. Because he was showing them that they were fixing to be partakers of what he was. Now you remember the scriptures, because I can't bring them all to mind, because like I said, this is way down the road, but I'm trying to bring it just a little bit to help you to understand. You remember Jesus asked him one time, said, can you go through the afflictions that I'm going through? You remember that in, you know, through the Matthews, Mark, Luke? He would ask them, you know, can you do these things? And he was telling them, many of you are going to die. You're going to give your life for this. This is the way things are going to take place. He was explaining to them, but it was never really burdened, you know, it never got into them. See? That he was telling them about themselves. Because it was coming into him. That was what was taking place. But then one day he begins to say, all right, now listen. Now you take this communion. Because the bread represents the word. You take the word that I have delivered unto you. And you take this wine, which is the stimulation of revelation. And you receive this. Because from now on, when the day of Pentecost come, it began to be revealed to them. They might not have known really that night what it was about and all the other things. But said, you'll understand when he, the Holy Ghost, has come. Now, am I in Scripture? Right. Wasn't that what Jesus said? When the Holy Ghost come, he'll explain these things to you. I'm telling you these. I'm going over it. I'm going over it. I'm going over it. But one day you'll experience this.
Right.
And when you experience what I'm talking about, then you'll understand what I said.
Right.
And you'll understand what they said and done back there.
Right.
2,000 years or something prior to then.
Right.
That when they was down there in Egypt and what was taking place. Because that's what those Passovers meant. We're going out, as I said, not to just apply the blood to the post. You got to eat the lamb. And in the morning, burn it, because now you're going to start a journey. You're going into the wilderness.
Amen.
And it's called the wilderness of sin. To be purged. Purge out the leaven. To be purged. To where that you can walk into the promised land. See, they had to go through that. They had to go through, the prophet said, sanctification in the wilderness. Even if they would have just been the part of the journey, if they went right straight into the land, they would have still journeyed through that part of some of the problem. But instead of them being able to go in, why? Now we'll get to this later. Why did they not go into the promised land? Because somebody added leaven, or word, false word, to what Moses had told them, you know, the spies, when they went over and looked and things. They come back, gave a false report. Now they couldn't give a false report about the land being right. So look what I'm saying. They come back, oh yes, the land's right, the land's right, the land's right. But said, we can't take it. There's giants in the land.
Right.
Well see, right then they begin to, leaven was being put back in. Now, I don't know how to explain this the best that I know how. See, if you get something unleavened, you better leave it alone. Don't go to mingling with it, because it's not even to be soddened. It's not to be ate raw. That was for the body, and I know of the lamb, but it was also for the bread. You don't eat it, and you don't eat of it soddened either. Because you get something unleavened, leave it alone. Because if you do, you're going to contaminate it. See? All right? Now that's what we'll get to in a minute when we get into the church ages. See, they started right, but man began to contaminate the thing. But still, back up and stay where I'm at. See, Jesus was saying to them, now I've told you in the journey that we've been going through, I've explained to you all of these things that would take place and how that I must be crucified. Because I'm the Passover lamb. But said, now you are fixing to enter a journey. And to enter that journey, you must go through the fiery trials of things. And they went through a horrible situation because there was their leader gone, and what could they do? See? As I said, as Jesus was purged out there in the Garden of Gethsemane, as he was purged out there by saying, not my will, but thy will be done. See, we only look at leaven as to some kind of something. It's anything that's hindrance. It's anything that bothers. Any problems, any situation. See, and he totally yielded himself and became obedient. See? And then he told them, he said, now you're fixing to go through this. And when the Holy Ghost comes, he'll bring to your remembrance. And as I said, even the Holy Ghost didn't bring totally the communion to remembrance to the disciples enough to write about it. Because they didn't. Right. Oh yeah, they said, you know, we've done this. No. But they didn't explain it. It was Paul that was chosen to come through to understand the Old Testament. Brother Brown said he took the Old Testament and brought it down. See? To the new and explained it. Well, that's what it was happening to the communion. None of the rest of us, none of them didn't have an understanding that way of it. Sure, they understood what the communion was. But Paul was the one who really set it in order. That's why I believe when it come to Peter, he said, Paul says things hard to be understood. And said, sometimes you'll even wrestle to your own destruction upon it. Didn't Philetus and Hymenaeus wrestle to their own destruction? Teaching the resurrection was Pius. Didn't that the two of them? Remember who the two there teaching the resurrection was Pius? They picked that up from Paul. Because they thought that's what Paul was teaching, but it wasn't. But get what I'm saying. Jesus said, this represents now that they come out of Egypt. Now I'm going to show you that I have yielded myself to the condition that I'm making a way for you to start a journey. Now, the first church age wasn't in Egypt. You come out of Egypt. That's why the feast represented that. The feast of the Passover, you was ready to get out. The day you took it, you went out that day. So, all right, then here we are. We learn about what is leaven. I'll get to it in a minute. We only use leaven a lot of times as to be something wrong. But if you use it in the correct order, you can use it. All right? But now what? You are going to experience this. And you, by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you've experienced this communion. Because you've taken the bread, the word, and you've let God quicken that by the Holy Spirit. Now there's no leaven in that. None whatsoever. Because you see, how did you get the unleavened bread? How did they get it? I told you, sisters, now you know the story is true. There is some leaven in plain flour. You say, oh no, it's all unleavened. No. If it's just ground wheat, there is leaven in there. To prove it, take unleavened, take your plain flour and make you some biscuits out of it. It'll raise just a little, am I right? It'll come up enough till you know that there's something happened to it. Now some are saying yes and some are saying no, so. But think about it. There is enough yeast. Because there's yeast, I told you. Yeast is fungus. That's why you got to cook it. That's why there would be no way to make a house totally yeast free. You would have to burn down the house. Because yeast is fungus. Alright? So then when they were told to make no leaven among them, it was leaven in the bread. Now I got this written down. It's supposed to be in the evening message, but I'll give it to you because I like these things. It kind of helps me every once in a while understand things. But I was reading on one article that I remember Richard was reading it the other day, what one man said about it, and the way he explained it, them Israeli people must have been pretty smart. You know, I never found figuring to be dumb, but see, when you come up to a time to all of these feast days, now, if you get rid of all 11, see, now, for at least a day or something after then, you're not going to be able to make bread until you get some more leaven, right? Am I right? So you're going to have to go through something to bring your leaven up. Because, come on, folks, they didn't have self-rising flour. You didn't go to Walmart or something and buy self-rising. They didn't have any. So you'd have to go through a process of getting the leaven to where you could make the bread to where you would have leavened bread. All right. So we was reading what one fellow had to say about it. He said that they probably took some of it over and loaned it to the neighbors, you know, the Gentiles, and then they could go back after the feast days is over and get it back. You know, they could start things in a hurry because you know what I'm saying. You only take a small amount, right, sisters? I mean, if you're going to use unleavened bread, I mean, you're going to use that the plain flour. I try to put it where everybody understands what I'm saying, and I understand. But you keep a little bit of that, right? And then when you mix up the plain flour, you put that in there, and what does that do? That immediately mixes in with the rest of it, and you can bake it, and it'll rise. Am I right? It'll make it to work. Because you don't have to wait 3 days. And when you do that, you're going to get sourdough. Alright, so what they would do, it's, you know, if you wanted to, you could loan the neighbors some of your bread until the feast was over, and you go back and get it, bring it back, put it back in, you could have an evening meal or something, you know. I'm just trying to get the natural parts of what that I've read about the things, and I've read how that you take corn and this and that and the other, and you make yeast. You can buy yeast, but yeast is everywhere. Yeast is even in the dust. It's a fungus. All right? So it would be impossible to contaminate free the house of yeast. So what's he saying? In your bread, don't have any yeast. Don't have it in your house with the ability to make the bread. But don't burn the house down. Just leave it alone. But there's yeast. A small amount of yeast is in wheat. In the natural. Because that's why it will rise. Alright? Now, and so what you do is you take that small amount, makes the rest. Alright? But get it right now and just get the story. Because I'm trying to do the natural, but trying to show you the spiritual. Alright? And see, because you say, well, there's no leaven in the prophet. You just gave me the quotes, Brother Dale, that there's no leaven in the church age. That's right. But that's leaven in the Word. Now, come on, the prophet's not saying in the church ages there wasn't no leaven, because he knows certainly that was what the church ages was explaining. There was plenty of leaven in the people around the church ages, and there was plenty of leaven in the people in the church ages. Oh no. If we're born again, we don't have no leaven. What about the Trinitarian doctrine you used to believe in? That's the leaven. Jesus told them, said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. They thought he's talking about bread. We just won't eat no bread from the Pharisees. It finally dawned on them. He's talking about their doctrine. He's not talking about their bread. Because once it comes to a spiritual condition of the New Testament, it's not concerned of whether you eat bread, leavened or unleavened bread. Don't make no difference, right? Probably be safer and better for us to eat unleavened bread. But there's no commandments to do that. Well, you're not supposed to eat this. Not worth that in the New Testament. The Bible says all things are good and lawful if they're sanctified by the Word of God in prayer. It don't matter if it's dogs or cats. Well, I ain't going to eat none of that. Well, you might change your mind. You get hungry sometime. But you understand what I'm saying. Once it entered the New Testament, the Christ, our Passover. Now, we'll get to that scripture in just a minute. See, when the New Testament begun on the day of Pentecost, it didn't begin in the book of Matthew. That's not the New Testament. The New Testament is the book of Acts. You tell 99% of the people, turn to the first of the New Testament, I'll turn to Matthew. They don't even understand. The New Testament begun in the book of Acts because you got to have the death of the testator before you can have a New Testament. Is that right? And see, he had to be purged out. As I said this morning in St. John there, he said, I sanctify myself. He was purged out of everything that would be in any way of a hindrance. And he was God and didn't need very much purging. You'd have to agree to that, wouldn't you? I ain't like these in the message, oh, Jesus done wrong. No, he was a human being. A human being in body. That human being body could be tempted. But one day that human being body becomes so under subjection in the Garden of Gethsemane until the blood literally began to run out. He was so set aside, cleansed of all forms of connection to humanity. Not that he needed to as a sinner, but because he was born, brought into the earth. Alright. But see, then when he did on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost fell, there wasn't no leaven in what it fell there on them people. But did they understand everything? I'm asking you the question. Did they understand everything when the Holy Ghost fell? No. So what did they have left? Human ideas. So when the prophet is saying no leaven, now get the point. When he's saying no leaven in the church ages, he's talking about no leaven. There was no leaven in the just shall live by faith. Amen. That was the word of God. But Martin Luther had plenty of leaven, taught a Trinity, smoked a pipe and drank beer. And I think, wasn't he the one that said all the Jews ought to be crucified or be killed or something? One of them did somewhere down through there. You think he didn't have problems? But it's just like I was saying about that when it was told in the Old Testament, you'll have no leaven among you. It's talking about connection to the bread. Not talking about where the fungus would be in the house or the things that would be in your house. It'd be impossible to make it totally free. But he's saying in the bread, don't have no leaven in your bread. There's no leaven in the Bible. But there's plenty of leaven about the people. Even that it's written about in the Bible. But there's no leaven in the Word. Just like that night, that bread that Jesus took and instituted that communion, there was no leaven in that bread because it had been baked in the oven. That's why you got to bake the bread. You got to bake it to get rid of all impurities. And then you can't sodden it because you reactivate the things that's in there. You eat it like that. All right, but see, there he was. When it comes down to the New Testament, when it says there's no leaven in the bride in the church ages, I gave you quotes for that. You said, well, you're trying to correct me, Brother Branham. No. But trying to explain something in sensible language. Martin Luther had leaven, right? But the just shall live by faith had no leaven in it. There was plenty of them tried to take it in Corinthians and things like that because they had all kind of problems. Married two or three times, all kind of problems was the book of Corinthians. And he had to explain it. There's no leaven in the truth. There's no leaven in God's word because it already was baked out down there. It was baked out. It didn't need it, but it was baked out in the Garden of Gethsemane. And there stood the Word, stripped and beaten and cut to pieces, but not one bit of leaven in him. Had to release that life that was in him to be the wine that could come back to stimulate the bread to make it where it would live. But just because you're born again doesn't mean you're free from leaven. Oh, I don't have no little denominational doctrines no more. Because I'm born again. I still believe in the Trinity. Now that's how ignorant we are. Or we say, well, I never was in a denomination. What does it matter? You still got the same thoughts. I proved that here a while back. Or I hope I proved it enough to where you can understand it. You say, well, I never was in a denomination. You're born with the mind. You're born with the mind of that. Because what's the difference in Buddha, Hindu, Muslim? What's the difference? Oh, we don't believe in that stuff. But we got a Trinity. That's what they've got. They got a contrary doctrine to the truth. You got a contrary doctrine to the truth. That's why I fight so hard with these people like the River Jordan people about it and to keep you from being caught into it. Because that is a denominational idea trying to be injected to make you. That is leaven. That's the leaven of the Pharisees. If we ever get time enough, we'll get down to the rest of it. Listen. Don't try to add anything. Because come on over into the spiritual from the natural leaven. They were not to try to add anything to that leaven, unleavened bread. Because it would go right back and contaminate. Alright. Now in doing it then, come over to where we are in the New Testament and the church ages. The prophets, you'll see them in there, don't add any word. Any word added is leaven added to that. Alright. Ideas.
Amen.
That are contrary to God's word. No matter how wonderful we think they are. If they're contrary to God's word, You're trying to add to God's Word. How can the Holy Ghost quicken that? People say, oh, the Holy Ghost revealed this to me. That's the reason I'm preaching it, because the Holy Ghost revealed. I'm going to preach what the Holy Ghost gave me to preach. And then come out with something that's wrong, contrary to the rest of the Word. Now how can the Holy Ghost do that? I mean, there's something wrong with our mentality, let alone our spiritual mentality. See, to think that God would do, don't add anything of yourself, because that's what they've done, right? The church started out beautiful on the day of Pentecost, right? Now, they still had problems, sure, okay. They still had things that Paul had to deal with trying to drive the leaven out. That's what he's talking about when we get back to the Scripture, if I get time. Because he's the one who says, purge it out. Well, let's just read that over again. Your glorying is not good. Know you not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Verse 6. Purge out, therefore, the old leaven. Now, that's not us eating bread or not eating bread or not eating meat or not eating this or not eating that or don't eat no pork and don't... Purge out your old ideas. And what's the best way to purge anything? What's the best way to purge anything? Fire. Right? That's why I kept emphasizing that. The children of Israel went through a purging in the wilderness of sin. Jesus went through a purging in the Garden of Gethsemane to make sure everything was totally right. Purge. The best way to purge anything is with fire. Because it's the only thing that'll kill anything. You're getting things nowadays that it doesn't matter how clean you try to be, it's not going to work, right? See, the only thing you can do is burn it. Right? But look, purge out therefore the old leaven that you may be a new lump. As you are unleavened. Now there's your two loaves. There's your two loaves of Leviticus 23:17. The two loaves were made with leaven. Read your Bible. But when they were baked, it baked out all the leaven. It purged it out. Okay? Now, how else are you going to explain it? Because that's when we get to it, we'll get to that point. What are you going to explain it with? The two loaves? It's got to be... Because I gave you the quote where Brother Branham said, you know where the two loaves come from? It comes from the sheaf wagon. That's what he said. But now listen. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Now, what's the feast? We got the feast of the Passover. We got the feast of this. We got to do this. We got to do this. We got the Sabbath. No. We don't honor one day above another one. We worship on Sunday and honor the resurrection, not as a commandment. Let us keep the feast. Well, let's just get all these things. So we're going to get over here one of these feasts eventually where you got to take some little trees and you got to go out on the side of a hill and you got to build your little hut. And you got to sit in there with your water and your unleavened bread for so many days. Now, all that turns into a type of something. Right? Look at it. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Not just truth. Not just truth now, but sincerity and truth. Oh, we're in the truth. We got the truth, but where's the sincerity? Just as much. All right? Now, purge out. What? Get rid of our denominational ideas. Well, I didn't know I had any. Well, listen to the word a while, you'll find out. You listen to the prophet a little bit, you'll find out you got things left that you didn't know you had. And let me say it this way. If it's not revealed, and how many agrees that all has not been revealed to us? I'm talking about as human beings and peoples and ways. Now, I ain't talking about the word ain't laid in their hands. I'm talking about we need it revealed. All right. See, until it's revealed, it's still not purged the way we need it. That's why I try to preach by revelation. I don't try to preach just 6 and 7 sermons to be good or even clothes and hair and dresses and stuff like that. I try to preach the truth to get you converted. Because Brother Branham, that's what's hit me so hard. All the people in the way they preach about, you know, this and that and the other and quitting this. And he said them women over there, when he preached one sermon to them in Africa that sat there with just a little bitty small cloth on the bottom, he said, and when they seen those things, he said they folded their arms and went out from among the people and wouldn't come back until they put clothes on. But everybody wants you to preach against this, preach against the hair, preach against clothes, preach against that. We have to put it in because it's the truth. But purge out. Now how are you purged? By fire. Let's see, I'm trying to think now. The Bible says the Lord is as a consuming fire. Is that scripture? What? His word. His word is a consuming fire. This word will destroy you. It'll burn you to pieces. Or it'll set you free. It'll kill you. Because it's the word out of the mouth of the two witnesses over there, remember, that sets all this thing in motion under the 6th seal. Am I right? But see, as the word is preached to you and I, and we receive that word, we take that word into our hearts, and it will purge us from these things. I was talking this morning, Brother Richard was telling me about Brother David, you know, Joy's husband, Brother Richard's daughter's husband. See, he hadn't been a believer in the message, but he's always been around since they got married and even before. Well, they didn't beat him to death and holler and scream about him, but here not too long ago, he was told one of his buddies, he said, I guess I won't be around very much. And he wasn't talking about sinful things, you know, drinking and carousing. No, he was just talking about some simple things. So I don't guess I'll be around too much. No. Friday night, he come to the water. Got baptized.
Hallelujah.
You say, that won't save you. But it's a start. Because you ain't going to get saved if you don't do it. See, that's why we quickly, that won't save us. I'm not talking about it saving. I'm not a church of Christ. But if you don't get started, you ain't got to start. I wish I could say what I wanted to on that part, but maybe I will in a second. But listen, purge out them old denominational ideas. Now, there was not a one of us that didn't have them, and I say this way, that we still got them because that's our problem. Because unrevealed word is our problem. Now, you understand what I'm saying? Not unpreached, not unread, not unthought of or looked at or heard of when it's not revealed. You can't say that word is purged and free from leaven until it's revealed to you. Because until it's revealed to you, you'll always have questions. Right? You can never be settled until it's revealed. But once it's revealed, you better believe it's been purged because Satan gonna fight you every way in the world until that can be made known to you. Now how many, listen, just be honest. We're not trying to brag on Lula, but how many of you had thoughts about this message you wouldn't write till you come to Lula? Well, I've seen a few hands up. I didn't ask for hands because I ain't gonna worry about it. I'm just telling you every one of you was that away. Oh, I understood this before I come. Forgive me. I'm not saying what people out there would think I'm saying. You got to go to Lula. No, but you got to go to the Word. And it's a constant unveiling of the Word is what purges us out. We are burned out by the Word. Getting rid of the old leaven that's there. The old things that we didn't understand before when we used to believe a Trinity. We used to believe in no eternal hells. We used to believe on all kind of different things. Used to believe, man, that Sabbath is so straight of the first day of the week. I remember a lady standing down at my mother's one day and a man's cutting grass on Sunday afternoon. And she said, one of these days he'll pay for that. And she was a good lady. But see, her thoughts was, he's going to hell for cutting his grass on Sunday. But see, that's our ideas. That's our concept. That's what's got to be purged out. Just because you got the Holy Ghost don't purge you out of everything. It sets the stage where you can be purged by the revealing of the Word. If not, we don't need a fivefold ministry if it's not that away. But purge it out. Get rid of it. There's to be no leaven in the seven church ages. Amen, Brother Branham. I believe you. But there sure was leaven in the people while it was in them ages. And Paul evidently must have understood something about it because he's talking about purging it. Why would he speak of like that if there wasn't no leaven in the people? Well, that's out there in them worldly people. I'm not worried about the worldly people. I'm concerned about me and you. Because I gave you a quote in there where Brother Branham said, no leaven among you brings the fullness of the Godhead bodily, he said. I better put that on tape in case somebody don't hear it. That's paragraph 264. God's only provided place of worship, 1965, 11, 28. No leaven among you brings the entire fullness of the Godhead bodily among you. Said, couldn't do it in Luther's age. Couldn't do it in Wesley's age. Couldn't do it in the Pentecostal age. But in the day when the Son of Man will be revealed. When the Son of Man will be manifested. Revealed, brought back the church together with the entire deity of God amongst his people. Showing the same visible signs manifesting himself like he did at the beginning when he was manifested on earth in the form of a prophet. See, that's why I said this morning. Because there's no record of barley having yeast in it. It's just like you can't, what is it? What's the one there that they won't mix with? The little mustard seed. You can't mix anything with it. Barley is nothing like used like wheat is around the world for feeding. It's used. And it was used in the Bible. Because when Ruth came back, that was the time of the barley. The barley harvest was there. The wheat harvest was either earlier or later. But the barley harvest was time. And Boaz gave Ruth six measures of meal, which is the six seals of the entire Word of God, of barley. Because when that prophet brought them seals, there's no leaven in that. Now, if you'd understand what I'm saying without making too much out of it, then you jump from the book of Revelations in the Old Testament of the writing down until the end time, and you and I have been given the seven seals of the book of Revelation, because the seventh seal don't reveal nothing. That's what the prophet said and what the Bible said. It can be revealed, but it don't reveal nothing. But see, six seals reveals the plan of redemption, and there's no leaven in the plan of redemption. Because there's no leaven in the Bible. This Bible is not a King James Version that he come up with because he had marital problems. And this is the story behind why the King James was brought up, you know. That it was brought up because that he had marital problems and he had them to rewrite a Bible where it justified his problems. I'd like to talk to him. I'd like to ask him what justified him. I'd like to ask him what thought, because I don't believe he did. I believe God ordained it to be brought unto us. To where it would be pure. I was looking, thank God, for that. I'd always talked about getting because, see, I knew this, but I didn't know how to explain it because how can you? World and Thompson and Nelson, they'll give you a 1611 edition, but that's actually not a 1611. under 1611 edition, one y'all gave me for Christmas, I'll be glad to let you look at it, because the word he in there is spelled H-E-E. I looked at that, I thought, yeah. And the little S in there, you can't even make it out, because it's a circle backwards. Yeah. You know, because it was written in the language of the style. See, when they brought it over to the Thompson and Nelson, they spelled he, H-E. You know. But see, it doesn't add or change. But see, there's no leaven in the Word of God. And when the Word of God is put into the people of God, there is no leaven. And that's what Jesus was trying to tell them. You're going to experience what I've experienced. You're going to be purged as I'm purged. You're going to be set aside and there won't be no leaven in you. When that Holy Ghost fell on the day of Pentecost, there was no leaven in that that fell. But it fell into a human being that had ideas and things contrary to it. And when it started out, then it lasted for about four church ages, a pure unadulterated word. But then it began to be, man's ideas began to get infected into it and causing it to go wrong, which is the leaven of the Pharisee that was added. Are you listening? Now if you take something and listen to it, Brother Branham said, when he got into the seal book, right at the back, he said, go on with the same simple doctrines, same simple message. He said, God, if you don't, what did he say? He said, go on with the same simple doctrine, message. He said, God, if you don't, you will go away from it. Now, what is the same, just a simple thing that the whole Bible consists of that you can tie it up all together? Is it not a doctrine called justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost? He said, oh, no, you got to go to the fourth, which is the word. Amen. We know about that. But if you don't have justification and sanctification and baptism of the Holy Ghost, right? It don't matter how much the Word is preached. Am I right? Well, see, that's what the kingdom consists of. And that's what I said. And I'm going to say this and then just quit. Go in Matthew 13:33. It says the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a woman that hid three measures of meal into the meal, in other words, into the flour. Let's read. I try to quote, and then somebody will say, oh, you didn't say that right. Well, we'll just read both of them then. Matthew 13 in verse 33. Another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Luke 13:20-21 says, I'm on the wrong page myself. I got that turned down for something else, I reckon. 13:20-21. And again he said, whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? See, over here it says the kingdom of God is likened to, or the heaven, excuse me, kingdom of heaven. And here it says the kingdom of God. Now, I maybe shouldn't even mention it, but there's an argument in organizations that the kingdom of heaven is one thing, the kingdom of God is another. Now, that's the same thing here. The kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God is the baptism of the Holy Ghost in the hearts of the saints. It's not kingdom of heaven being one part and kingdom of God being another part. That's been argued. Okay. And again he said, whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? It is like leaven which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Now you, the sisters, as we said a while ago, you know what I'm talking about in simple language. You take a little bit of leavened bread, dough, You put it in, and you mix it. And you let it just set just a little. The reason they went to self-rising, because it goes quicker. See, quick as you add water is the ingredient that activates the yeast. So you add water and the baking powder, the soda, you know, the stuff, the salt and the stuff is already in the self-rising. Makes it come up quick. But if you didn't, you got to add it. Mingle it in, and then you let it rise. Because that's, then you can bake it, because that's doing it. But listen. You say, but you can't add leaven. You can't, if you use the word leaven, as you've always, and I've always thought about using it until we come on up into the Word, as leaven as being some man's idea. But what about leaven being the real truth? Am I in the sealed book? There's a mysterious part of justification, a mysterious part of sanctification, and a mysterious part of the baptism of the Holy Ghost that was not understood during the ages, but to be understood in the end time by the opening of the seven seals. Am I quoting Brother Branham? Do you need that quote? A mysterious part. Leaven makes something rise. I believe this end time message has made it rise to me. I don't know about you. This made me rise into understanding of justification. I never was one. I remember Brother Harris even come, because that was what he was wanting to know some things about. That, not that he wasn't born again, he had that and he'd been through it, but he wanted to know something about sanctification. And he was trying to find out, come up here to an old Baptist, you know, come from a Baptist background, trying to preach sanctification. Because sanctification is not you quitting drinking, smoking, and chewing tobacco and doing all that. It's a cleansed and set aside, purged life by the Word that you hear. That's why faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word. You can't be saved without hearing the Word. But it can be heard in so simple a form, because the prophet in Christ the Mystery, I'm pretty sure, he said that it could be Jesus Christ could be revealed to the most illiterate person. What? They can understand what they went through and what's going on. But you see, leaven can be added if it's the right kind of leaven. Now, there's where you're at over in the Leviticus 23:17 with the two loaves. Because the two loaves represents a baked, driven out leaven of all things to be pure, because it's baked in the oven. And that's what God has been doing with the Word to you and I. You say, why are we here after 40 years? Because we're having to have the purging of the Word. Driving out the impurities. Because the two loaves, let's read it, just make sure it's on the tape where the people won't misunderstand. And you shall bring out of your, it's Leviticus 23:17, and you shall bring out of your habitation two wave loaves. Now this is end the wave offering of the sheaf. This is not to say that it's a feast. It's a product of the feast. Now I'm 6-10 sermons down the road. Look at verse 15. And you shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, for from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths. All right, then you're coming down to what? Feast of Pentecost. Okay? Even unto the morrow after the 7th Sabbath shall you number 50 days, Feast of Pentecost. See? And you shall offer a new meal offering. See, not meat, meal offering unto the Lord. And you shall bring out of your habitation 2 wave loaves of 2/10 deal. And they shall be of fine flour, they shall be baked with leaven. They are the first fruits unto the Lord. Now you tell me the first fruits unto the Lord is not the bride of Jesus Christ. If you don't understand that, you're in bad shape. Because I thought we would leave. We were the He was the first, and we were the first fruits. You say, well, that leaven, no, Brother Dale. The word can be leaven if we take it correctly. Let the word burn out all that's not right and bring unto us, Lord, something that will make us rise in the understanding of the word into the seals. Through the opening of those things that you can bring then all of the man-made living out, but bring your word. Let that word come into us to make us rise. Make us not sit down and become, you know, oh, we're in the message. Yeah, we're in the message. At ease in Zion? No. Let that unleavened bread, Lord, clean out every bit of that. Bring me to a place that I'm just so unleavened until there's nothing left of me. But the only way you can do that is bake me. The prophet said it one time. It always amazed me. Brother Richards mentioned it here a while back. He said, Lord, you shured me. In other words, like shaving, like taking off the lamb, you know, to shure, ever how you say that word. He said, you shured me one time when you took my wife and daughter. Now that's what he thought about it. He said, shure me again, Lord. He wanted to be so set aside, so dedicated, so set that there would be no unleaven of man. Now, listen. Go home and think on these things. We talk about yeast making something rise. We talk about yeast as being man's ideas. Do you know that there's not a doctrine in the world? Your prophet said it. I'd be glad to find almost a verbatim quote. Every doctrine in the world has the truth as a background. That's something very close to the quote. As man's ideas added to that then makes it impure. Everything in the world, Mohammeds and all, are based on the Bible right. On some things. Right. But you see, it's when we add our ideas to it. That's our leaven. That's the leaven of the Pharisees. See, because why didn't they eat unleavened bread all year? It was only to be eat on the feast days. Not all year. Jesus didn't eat unleavened bread every day of the week. It was only on the feast days. I'll be glad to bring you the definitions from it if you want me to, of fungus and yeast and things, if you don't believe what I'm talking about. When Jesus went through that field and took that ear of corn that was there, if that would have been in a dried form, he had some yeast that he was eating. Because that's what you take, is corn and some things, and you grind it together and you can make a form of yeast. You can make yeast out of almost anything because it's a fungus. But we only make it to be bad. See, we can't add any. Come on, brother. We can't add any of our ideas. Because when we do, we've messed it up. Well, Brother Dale, I don't agree with what you said. Well, okay. Show me. Show me. But just remember the point that I was trying to get. God can add word to word. But we can't add our ideas to the word. But he can add word to a word until you come out with a word. Okay? Then that's what I'm talking about. You may say, I don't agree with your approach to that. That's fine. All right. I'm just sorry I don't have enough education, enough sense to be able to talk right and do right. I was listening to what prophet we was last night, and I was listening to him when he said, sometimes you just get in the room, and he said, you come out of the room, he said, it's different. He said, if you just come out of there with that old idea of talking things, he said, it won't work nothing. See, because we get our own ideas involved. We come out of there with what he has to say. If it ain't right, he'll correct you. He'll make it right. Let's stand. What we got, Brother Dick? 246 in the red book. Anybody has a need? The table's spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people, come and dine. He's inviting you and I, come and feed. Father, our sister's concerned about everybody here, not just one, but everybody, and the sicknesses that we have among us. And we thank you for putting that on her heart and that she can pray, because you brought it to her attention. But this thing has come among us to try to destroy our immune systems and things and make us sick. But we believe you that by your stripes we are healed. And you placed that upon our sister's heart for her to pray. So now you just keep that burden there in Jesus' name. Just keep the burden and pray. Anybody else? Feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. To the hungry call, come and dine. Ever at his side, all the host of heaven will assemble be. Oh, will be a glorious sight, all the saints in spotless white, and with Jesus they shall be eternally. Come and die. Think about it. Adding word to word. Just like food to food makes you grow. Word to word, God knows how to make his bride grow. And he knows how to purge her out. Because he said he's going to put us through the test. Come on. Am I in the message? Said he's going to put us through the test to burn it all out. Until we come out of that with a word. There is no leaven in that barley, because there's no leaven in the Word of God. It's in the people. But he's got to let that burn. Burn. Here? Anybody have a need? Come to me and rest. There he is. Bring me every bird, bring me every cat. Come unto me, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me, hear me and be blessed. I meek and low, come and trust my mind. Come, my yoke is easy and Are you? We got to be put through the trial and test to see if we'll stand on the word or not. You say, well, I'm in this problem. I mean, raise your hand and say, thank you, God, because I am not worthy to this, but you're letting me. You're putting me through a trial. I'll come out of this. As Job said, I'll come out of it. Because my Redeemer, I know He liveth. No matter what the devil tries to tell us, we walk on in God's Word. Come, my yoke is easy. My burden's light. You see why you can't just keep preaching, but listen, folks. The key ingredient to making any yeast is what? Water. Right? That's the only way yeast can be activated. That's why it's dust when it's just laying around. But you put water, moisture around, it turns into fungus, right? See, water is the key ingredient. And I thought we believed the Bible said we're washed by the water of the Word. The key ingredient to try to bring anything up is water, moisture. It'll make the fungus produce what it is. And see, if the Word of God can be likened unto three measures of leaven, then just keep adding water. You know what I'm talking about. Look around the outside out here and you'll see on the wall out here on the back, if you don't believe it, go out there and look. There's green stuff on the wall. You know what that is? Moisture. Because the sun doesn't hit there, because the trees are there to shade it off. That's a fungus. That's a yeast. But you know, yeast is used in many, many things of valuable instead of just bread we talk about. It's used in many valuable forms. But we've got our ideas. It's yeast is yeast. And we don't consider it. See, any doctrine, if you leave the doctrine laying, it won't hinder nobody. But it's when people tries to add the water to it, make it come alive. It will produce. See, that's because we're human. See, I want to raise out of here one day, don't you? I want to get out of here. Remember Wednesday night, remember the services, Brother Richard would be with us, the Lord willing, preaching for us, just to go. Right. Would you please straighten up your pews, the seats around you and everything, because Wade and June and them will probably come later in the week, but they're not here to do anything today. So it would help them to be able to get ready for Wednesday. Please straighten up around. You ought to do that. Every service. It ought to be done. Not just one. Well, I want my stuff laying where I want it. Well, put it up for one time. Straighten up. You know, because it's work. Okay. Anybody else? Anything before we go? Things go. See, that gets into another thought. You know how you get wine? Remember, yeast is fermenting products. How do you get wine? You add sugar to the grape juice. It'll produce wine. Because it'll make it ferment. It's okay to. But now here's where you get into it. See why you could keep on preaching. You don't take wine when you first make it and drink it. The Bible says don't look on wine when it's moving in the glass. Now what that means is, it'll give you the stomachache in a hurry. If you drink green wine, in other words, if it's still bubbling, moving in the glass. The wine we have here is that it's kept for months and months before it's ever used. Because if you use it too quick, the little bit we take ain't going to do it. But if you drank a good bit of green, we call green wine, it's not totally fermented. But once it's fermented, oh, you can do anything you want to it then. That's why I'd make our wine. Do you know what they do in this message? Now, I know people that does it, folks. I'm sorry. Or not even say I know people that does it. I'm trying to get away from that stuff. I know it's done. You know that they take, and you can do it. You can make wine in about 2 days. But you boil it. You boil the grape juice and stuff. And you know what you're doing? You're stopping it from fermenting. The wine we have, don't ever plug that top on there real strong. Because she's going to blow with you. Right. It's going to blow up with you. Because it's still fermenting. Wine keeps on fermenting, and no matter how long you keep it, it keeps on. You just don't see the effects. Because the blood of Jesus Christ gets stronger every day. You might get started preaching again. All right. No, just remember the Wednesday night services and pray one for another, okay? Father, we thank you, we love you, and we ask you that you'd go with us on our way home, take care of everybody, give a safe journey, and let your love be made manifest to each and every one. Forgive our sins and guide us in Jesus' name. I pray that what we said today would be worthy, and if not, then you let us know about it. And we'd be glad to tell everybody that we didn't, wouldn't write. But Father, your word is so true and wonderful. We love you. Thank you for all things in Jesus' name. You're dismissed. Terrence.
Mark.
I from the castle of my heart. Way high in the sky, but